first lesson is from the book of Acts, chapter 9, verses 1 through 9. Meanwhile, Saul, still breathing threats and murder against the disciples of the Lord, went to the high priest and asked him for letters to the synagogues at Damascus, so that if he found any who belonged to the way, men or women, he might bring them bound to Jerusalem. Now, as he was going along and approaching Damascus, suddenly a light from heaven flashed around him. He fell to the ground and heard a voice saying to him, "Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me?" He asked, "Who are you, Lord?" The reply came, "I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. But get up and enter the city, and you will be told what you are to do." The men who were traveling with him stood speechless, because they heard the voice but saw no one. Saul got up from the ground, and though his eyes were open, he could see nothing. So they led him by the hand and brought him into Damascus. For 3 days he was without sight and neither ate nor drank.
So as I was thinking about this scripture passage this week, I thought of something we all might try this morning. And so I would invite you, just where you are, to close your eyes so that you cannot see. And now put your hands over your eyes so that it's even darker and it's harder to see the light. And now just sit here in darkness and pay attention to what you notice going on around you. So if you take your hands off of your eyes to start to adjust to the light and open them up, what did you notice when you couldn't see? The floor creaks, yes. We heard baby noises from, yeah. Coughing, yep. Anything else? So it sounds like what people, go ahead. Footsteps, yep. So it seems like the next, yeah, go ahead, Bob. You felt your breathing more, yeah. Yeah, so everybody, most people have talked about what they heard, so it seems like our default sense after we lose our sight is to start focusing on what we hear. Any other kind of things you became aware of, like breath or things that you felt or smelled or any other kind of things you became aware of? Right, so the smell of the inside of your mask, yep.
My shoulders were tense.
Okay, muscles were tense. Yeah, so I was aware of the sound of the air as well as starting to feel it. Yeah, Dick.
And aloneness.
A what?
Aloneness.
Aloneness, okay, yeah. So imagine being like that for 3 days, where you could not see anything and all it was complete darkness. What do you think you would, besides feeling terrified, what do you think you would start to notice? Certainly more sounds, yeah.
Smells.
That you needed help. Yeah, all of a sudden you'd kind of become aware of how vulnerable you are now and how much you're going to start to need to depend on the people around you to help you figure out where you are and get what you need and all of that kind of stuff. Yeah, and so I was just thinking about this. I was thinking about Paul and how Saul, actually, this is Saul in the story, he hasn't gotten his new name yet, he is very sure that the way he sees the world is the right way and the only way. And he has committed his whole life to making sure that, his vision of the world is the only one that counts. And so this experience of being in darkness for 3 days, we know the first thing that happens to him is he hears a voice. So clearly his hearing is automatic, is all perked up because he hears this voice. But I would imagine he noticed a lot of things like you all are noticing. The people around him, how much he needs help, and maybe what he thought was the only way to see the world is not the only way after all. Maybe there are other ways to see and understand what's going on around us. So I would invite you all to think about, like, in your life, during the week, are there times that you have where you can get a different perspective? What could you do to put yourself in a different place or a different situation that might help you see the world differently? Because we all do this. We all get really stuck in what we think is true or right or the right way to do things. I'm a person, my kids will tell you, I think there's only one way to load the dishwasher. And it's always an enlightening experience for me to let someone else do it and realize the dishes get just as clean. So, you know, there's lots of ways we all get stuck in these ways of seeing, but they often blind us to the people around us or seeing them differently and seeing them as partners and helpers instead of just people we make judgments about and do something about. So I would invite you, Paul's experience seems really crazy and out of this world, but I wonder how each one of us need to find some ways to shift our perspective every week, every day, and I invite you to do that. And I think for my prayer, I will actually invite you to do the prayer for understanding, which is at the bottom of, under the prayer of confession. So please join me. Living God, surprise us and speak to us anew of your love and grace in Jesus Christ. May we hear and respond in faith, living your love, offering your grace, sharing your justice and peace, and following wherever you lead us. So our second lesson today is the second half of the story that Kendra started to read in the first lesson. So let us hear the rest of the story. Now there was a disciple in Damascus named Ananias. The Lord said to him in a vision, "Ananias." He answered, "Here I am, Lord." The Lord said to him, "Get up and go to the street called Straight, and at the house of Judas, look for a man of Tarsus named Saul. At this moment he is praying, and he has seen in a vision a man named Ananias come in and lay his hands on him so that he might regain his sight." But Ananias answered, "Lord, I have heard from many about this man, how much evil he has done to your saints in Jerusalem, and here he has authority from the chief priests to bind all who invoke your name." But the Lord said to him, "Go. For he is an instrument whom I have chosen to bring my name before Gentiles and kings and before the people of Israel. I myself will show him how much he must suffer for the sake of my name." So Ananias went and entered the house. He laid his hands on Saul and said, "Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on your way here, has sent me so that you may regain your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit." And immediately something like scales fell from his eyes and his sight was restored. Then he got up and was baptized. And after taking some food, he regained his strength. For several days he was with the disciples in Damascus. And immediately he began to proclaim Jesus in the synagogues, saying, "He is the Son of God." The word of God for the people of God. Pastor Heidi Peterson used to be the minister at Central Presbyterian Church in Kansas City, Missouri. And she once wrote about an experience that she had working on a Habitat for Humanity house one day. On a rainy Saturday, I stood on the front porch of a Habitat for Humanity house with a man I had never met before. We were both volunteers who had come to unroll sod, plant bushes, and sweep a driveway to make the front yard of a new house look more like a home than a construction site. As we waited out the weather under the shelter of the porch, he began talking. He observed that, although its timing was inconvenient for the work we had planned, we sure needed the rain. Then, not bothering with a segue, he went directly to his main concern and asked me if I was saved. When I told him that I believed I was, he asked for the date, time, and description of my conversion. "It is for moments like these," she writes, "that I think about making up my own version of the Saul on the road to Damascus story. But it wouldn't be true. I was baptized as an infant, raised in a faith tradition I was taught to love and respect, and gradually grew into the theological convictions I strive to live by today. Every day, the conversion continues as I am changed by human encounters, the natural world, and countless experiences that provide new insights into the nature of God." My fellow Habitat volunteer was an outspoken pacifist, a good neighbor, and a self-avowed Christian who knew with certainty the moment Jesus called his name and entered his heart. He knew where he was, what he was doing, what he was wearing. Ever since that moment, his life had been infused with meaning. In recounting this experience, Heidi Peterson was struck by how different their stories were. Two disciples with two very different roads to faith. Our scripture lesson this morning is also about two disciples, Saul, who is better known to us as Paul, and Ananias. Saul's story is certainly the more familiar one to us. As our passage begins, Saul was continuing his campaign to purge his precious Judaism of the traitors who now claim to follow the way of that crucified fanatic Jesus. As far as Saul was concerned, these troublemakers were preaching blasphemy and teaching heresy in Jewish synagogues. They were polluting his pure faith tradition, and they had to be stopped. While most of the Jewish leadership in his day advocated for a much more moderate approach to dealing with the Christian threat, Saul was zealous in his mission to root out the infidels. Breathing threats and murder against the disciples of the Lord, he was enemy number one of the early church. Saul was on his way to Damascus to clean up the synagogue there and arrest any followers when it happened. Wham, bam. Paul was literally blinded by a light so bright it knocked him to the ground. And then a voice called out to him, "Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me?" When Saul heard that the voice was Jesus, he was dumbfounded. He didn't know what to do or think. The foundation of everything he had based his life on was being turned upside down. Maybe this Jesus guy wasn't the enemy. Maybe his sole purpose was all wrong. So Saul spent the next 3 days stumbling around in the darkness, trying to put the pieces of his life back together, unable to eat or see or drink. Finally, 3 days later, God sent someone to put Saul out of his misery. Ananias came and laid his hands on Saul, healing him and claiming him as Jesus' newest disciple. After the scales fell from his eyes, Saul saw a whole new world. Everything had changed. The target of his persecution had now become his Savior and Lord. His enemies had now become his brothers and sisters in faith. Instead of breathing threats and murder, Saul was ready to preach the good news of God's saving love and forgiveness. Enemy number one became missionary number one. It was quite a turnaround, surprising no one more than Saul himself. As zealously as he had persecuted the church, now Saul was ready to share the good news he had experienced for himself with just as much enthusiasm and zeal. But what about the other guy in this story? Although Ananias gets just as much space in our passage today as Saul does, his story is much less familiar to us. He was just a regular guy, a Jew by background who had converted to Christianity and was now doing the best he could to live his life and be true to his faith. We know nothing of his conversion experience, probably because there wasn't much to tell. Most likely, a friend or relative had invited him to visit this new kind of prayer meeting that was happening in town, in someone's home. Maybe Ananias went and heard some preaching that touched his heart and gave him hope. Maybe he found the teaching stimulating and liberating. Maybe he enjoyed the sense of community those early Christians shared and he wanted some place to belong. Whatever attracted him, Ananias was baptized and became a disciple of Jesus Christ. He worshiped with the other believers in their fledgling church every Sunday. He shared what he had with other Christians, and he opened up his home to traveling preachers and teachers. Because being a Christian was looked upon with suspicion by the local government, Ananias did his best to stay under the radar, doing his job, providing for his family, living his faith. All that changed for him one night when the Lord came to Ananias in a vision. "Ananias," the Lord called to him. "Here I am," Ananias answered. "I have a job for you to do," Jesus said. "Go to Judas' house on Straight Street and look for a man from Tarsus. He is blind and he needs to be healed. I need you to be my hands and heal him." Now Ananias was no fool. He knew who the man from Tarsus was. Everybody in his church had been dreading Saul's arrival in Damascus for weeks. They had heard of his hatred and his underhanded, sometimes violent tactics in finding and arresting Christians. Ananias had no desire to intentionally put himself or his family in harm's way. And he was not afraid to speak up and share his concerns with Jesus. Jesus didn't argue with Ananias. He just repeated his command. "Go. Trust me to take care of the rest. I have a special job for Saul to do." So Ananias obeyed Jesus. He found Saul, and although he was scared to death of the man in front of him, he put his hands on Saul and called him brother. Through the power of the Holy Spirit, Ananias healed Saul and welcomed him not only into the life of faith, but into his own family of faith. Two disciples, two very different roads to faith. One was an angry terrorist. The other was a peace-loving believer. One had a dramatic conversion experience. The other simply made a decision and then grew in his faith day by day. One became famous. The other fades immediately into the background, never to be heard from again. One will go on to become the greatest missionary the church has ever known. The other will return to his life, his job, his family, doing the best he can to be faithful in the ordinary events of daily living. Two disciples, two different roads to faith. And yet they were both faithful. Both responded when God called them. Both did the job that Jesus gave them to do. And that's ultimately what counts. Which one are you? Are you like Saul? Did you have a dramatic conversion experience that changed your life in an instant? Or are you more like Ananias, with a less dramatic story, just trying to be faithful in the details of daily life? I would imagine that all of us know someone or have heard of someone who has had a Damascus Road experience similar to Saul's. Such experiences are impressive. The drama, the spectacular and unmistakable sound of the Lord's voice from heaven, the certainty that seems to come with such experiences. Secretly, we may wish that we could have had such an incredible experience to build our faith on. If God speaks to some people like that, why not me? Why not everybody? Flannery O'Connor once said of Saul, "I reckon the Lord knew that the only way to make a Christian out of that one was to knock him off his horse." Saul was an intense and zealous man who was absolutely sure he was absolutely right about his faith. God had to do something drastic to get his attention and turn him around. But everyone is different. And God reaches out to each and every one of us in a unique way. As one commentator said, different persons respond to different initiatives from God, and more subtle means of persuasion than the intense energies of the Damascus Road can be just as effective in eliciting a response to God's grace. God's love knows our personal needs and steps forth to meet them, even if it does not always knock us to the ground in the process. The truth of the matter is that faith is a lifelong journey. There may be high points and low points, but most of the journey is spent on level ground. Like Ananias, we are called to do the best we can, to live our faith in the midst of our daily lives, at home, at work, in the community, at church. As Heidi Peterson wrote, the lasting mark of conversion is not one date circled in red on the calendar, but the whole story of one's life. We may be able to trace our conversion to a specific date and time, or we may view it as an unfolding process. Either way, to be a disciple means that we respond to God's call whenever and wherever it comes. Very few of us are called to be the next Paul, but we are all called to be Christ's faithful disciples in the midst of our daily lives. Like Ananias, we are called to be those unheralded, dedicated disciples who quietly get the job done, wherever God sends them. We'll never hear about them on the news. We'll never read about them on the internet or in the newspaper. But this coming week, just like every week, hundreds of thousands of them will go out from Sunday worship into the world and get to work. They'll do pro bono legal work for the poor. They'll build houses for Habitat. They'll push for ethical standards in business and advocate for equitable education, health care, affordable housing, and a living wage. They'll volunteer at homeless shelters. They'll staff a suicide hotline or hand out bags of food at the pantry. They'll sign up to teach Sunday school or help out with youth group. They'll send cards, make calls, and visit folks who are lonely or going through a tough time. They'll make a meal for loaves and fishes. They'll offer prayers while walking the labyrinth or hanging a prayer ribbon. They'll paint and repair things, stuff envelopes and organize closets, weed and water flower beds. Regardless of what they believe and how they got there, these folks are living their faith and making a difference in the world. How you come to faith is not nearly as important as how you live your faith. Moving forward, day by day, in the midst of all the details and demands of daily life. Whether you are more like Saul or Ananias, we are all called to be disciples of Jesus, to keep our eyes and ears open for those special moments of God-given vision, for that voice coming out of nowhere, for those special jobs and ministry opportunities that Jesus puts before us. So that we, like Ananias, can respond, "Here I am, Lord." Amen.